Mike Tomlin with a hell of a quote on Sunday night. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was asked on if switching to Russell Wilson with a 4-2 record was one of the boldest decisions. He responded with, quote, "That's why I'm well compensated. Thank you." And then left the podium. Just mic drops you.
Yeah, that's why they give me a lot of money. I got to make these tough decisions. But it is. I mean, it's a tough decision. You're 4-2. You don't normally change your quarterbacks. But I thought Chris Collinsworth did a really good job last night of kind of painting the picture of what was going through Mike Tomlin and the conversations that they had with him, you know, during the week. And I think that's why it's important. I know, you know, Tom Brady's not going to get the opportunity to do that because he owns the Raiders right now. But, you know, Chris Collinsworth sitting down with Mike Tomlin and Tomlin going, "I don't know what I'm looking for, man. I just wanted to see, you know, what this guy could do and see if he could be somebody that, you know, we could rely on." And they said, if we go back to Justin Fields, then it's done. We're not going back to, you know, to Russell Wilson. But I think they started it because it was more about curiosity. And the first couple of quarters were not good for Russell Wilson. I mean, he was getting booed and all of that kind of stuff. And then, you know, he took over and started throwing some nice balls out there and making some nice plays and doubled up the New York Jets and leaderless New York Jets and quarterbackless New York Jets. And Russell Wilson outplayed Aaron Rodgers last night. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Russell Wilson was the better quarterback on the field last night, and Aaron Rodgers was on the other side. And to me, Aaron Rodgers' days are numbered. Aaron Rodgers has played, you know, his last game, in my opinion, of being legit as a quarterback in this league. And it's only going to get worse for Aaron Rodgers. It's only going to get worse for Aaron Rodgers, and his legacy is getting tarnished by the day that he continues to go out there, because he looks like a guy who's never seen a football before. He stinks.
Yep. I'll give credit where credit's due. Russell Wilson was good last night.
Really good. Yep.
He did have one horrendous throw that was like,
yeah, that first throw he threw, and I even tweeted that. Nice throw, Russ.
just the butterflies. They win 37-15 last night over the Jets.
But I want to bring this up. I think this is the greatest defense in Chiefs history.
Okay.
They have not allowed 30 points. And trust me, I know I wasn't alive when they had that defense, right, which was Delaney and Buchanan and all those guys.
Like, well, you got your names wrong, but I get what you're going with right there. That's fine.
Those names aren't right?
No.
Joe Delaney?
Joe Delaney was a running back.
I'm sorry, Buck Buchanan.
Buck Buchanan, Bobby Bell, Willie Lanier.
Lanier is who I was thinking of.
Defensive back, whoever it was back in the day.
Right. Anyways.
But those are all Hall of Famers.
And then there's the 90s Chiefs, right? DT, Neil Smith, you know, Dan Salamua was a defensive tackle that a lot of people loved, and they were good. But this defense, it's like the best way to describe it is like everything supports itself.
No doubt.
And with that, it just makes it this conglomerate. Like, you look at Leo Chenal was able to cover Kyle Juszczyk yesterday. Did a great job. Sometimes Kyle Juszczyk is that guy when the Chiefs, he was that guy in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, he just has those plays on big downs. And Leo Chenal doesn't get a lot of credit for it or doesn't get a lot of talk about it, but was able to stop that. Chris Jones was able to get the pressure in Brock Purdy's face, which made him have nightmares and maybe throw, you know, a couple of errant throws that he shouldn't have thrown. Was George Kittle good? Sure. Tight ends seemed to cook against the Chiefs. And that was one of those things where, yes, Deebo Samuel was not a factor, didn't play really. Brandon Ayuk blew out his ACL.
What do you think happened to Deebo before the game? Like, do you think like just the flu or something
They said he was under the weather, and plus he was battling a wrist injury all practice or all week in practice. And George Kittle was their only offensive piece.
You said Kittle was good yesterday, right?
Yeah, he was great.
He was 6 for 92, right? And he had that 41-yard reception. But other than that, like, do you really remember much of George Kittle yesterday? I thought he was big in a very quiet way yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he was the only guy doing anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought he had it. I mean, every time they needed a big play, it went to Kittle.
Yeah.
And he had that big play down the sideline, which kind of kept them in the game throughout the game. But the way that this defensive line helps the linebackers, that then helps the secondary and the safeties, everybody just kind of like competes to be what's going to be the unit on this defense this week. That is the reason they win. Chris Jones's pressure allows Nick Bolton to kind of gamble. It allows, if they do try to run, the defensive line doesn't get there, Nick Bolton is right there answering the call. Leo Chenal is able to get the outside. Tranquil as well. Trent McDuffie is one of the top three best corners, and he's not 3 or 2. I'd stand on that. 1,000%. And your safeties, the way they play, you know, Jaden Hicks comes in a big time, gets interception in the end zone. Justin Reed, big pick early on. Your offense turns the ball over twice. They did score on one of those, but they were able to force turnovers, create havoc, and every single layer of that defense complements each other, right? Like, mm-hmm. we mentioned the linebackers, Lanier and Bobby Bell and Bobby Kent, all those guys. And there's a corner, but we don't remember his name. There's, you know, defensive linemen that we don't bring up in that. But in this defense, in this day and age, which is unfair, right? Like, if Jack Nicholson could have hit with a metal wood, would he have been better than, you know, would he have been more power? I don't know. They didn't have that technology. Yeah, right. But the way football is played in this league and the way that this defense continues to show out, 20 points allowed, 25, mm-hmm. 17, 10, 13, 18. They're not playing bad offenses. They're not out there playing, you know, an aged Aaron Rodgers or a bad Cleveland Browns team. They'll play a Cleveland Browns team, but it'll be later on in the season. They're beating Kirk Cousins, who's thrown for 500 yards. They're not only that, they're stopping teams' running backs. Like,
every one of them is getting stopped,
and
right?
You could say, well, McCaffrey didn't play. Well, Derrick Henry, who's him or Saquon Barkley are the number one or number two running backs in the league. They stopped Derrick Henry. J.K. Dobbins, who was having a great year, was irrelevant. Bijan Robinson had a big day yesterday, was irrelevant against the Chiefs. They stop everybody's offense, and it's every player on offense except maybe a tight end. They're the best team this franchise, best defensive unit this franchise has ever had.
Yeah, and you know, usually I'm the hyperbolic one, but I don't think you're hyperbolic at all in that statement of saying this is the best defense that you've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs, and for a number of reasons. Let's go back to those 60s defenses, Hall of Famers across the board, but it wasn't a full-time job. There weren't a lot of teams in the NFL, AFL at that time. It was a completely different ballgame. Guys weren't working out physically tuned up the way that they are today. It just wasn't that way back then, right? So you look at those defenses, you give them credit, you honor them, you celebrate them. They're Hall of Famers, but the game is completely different from the 60s of where it is now. We're talking 80 years ago. I mean, seriously, like 60 years ago, I guess we're talking now, right? It's a very long time ago. The game has evolved. And then you get to those 90s, and you mentioned DT and Neil Smith and maybe Dan Saliamua as a fringe guy, right? You look at this defense compared to that defense, and everybody loves those defenses of the 90s because, again, it was the rebirth of football in Kansas City, and so people are always going to be partial to Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and, you know, those guys. But this defense right now has legitimate stars on every single level of their defense, right? You've got a Hall of Famer in Chris Jones. You've got an All-Pro in Nick Bolton. You've got an All-Pro in Trent McDuffie. You've got a star player in Justin Reed at that safety position. Each level that you go back, you have a superstar type player, and that can't be overstated. And in a league right now that is so skewed to make the offenses succeed, it is much harder to play defense in this league. And so those are the true facts. And I know people will want to debate and argue and fight over, you know, which defenses are better, but I look at it from a different lens. It is harder to win in professional sports today than it was yesterday. It will be harder to win tomorrow in professional sports than it is today. And with the way that guys train now, the way that guys eat, their job is 365 days a year. They don't have an off season where they're working at the lumber yard or they don't have a defense that's led by just two players. This defense right now, in an age where offense is the standard and the league sets rules and changes rules to make the offenses have success and they call penalties to benefit the offense, for this defense to not give up 20 points since the 15th of September puts them in that category of the best defense ever. Now, if they fall off, we're having a different conversation. But if this thing continues and they continue to hold teams under 30 points or, hell, under 20 points, which they're doing right now, even the biggest, you know, Zubaz-wearing, Camaro-driving, Bush Light-drinking fan from the 90s is going to look around and say, here's the deal. This is a better defense than what we saw out there with DT. But for a lot of people, it is, for whatever reason, blasphemy to say anything's better than those 90s defenses, when in fact a lot of the times in the 90s they simply underachieved as well, much like those teams in the 60s. All those teams in the 60s, they got one Super Bowl championship and they got 1,000 Hall of Famers on those teams, and they only have that one championship. Underachieving. The Marty Schottenheimer years, say what you want, old timer, and I'm kind of speaking to myself in that age room, that was an underachieving era of Chiefs football. This is a Chiefs football team that is dominating on defense in an offensive era that is not underachieving on the field at all. And so, yeah, you can make that case. And I know people will scream from the rafters that we're idiots by saying that, but I find it much more difficult to win today in the NFL than it's ever been before. And the Chiefs are a marked team. Everybody's coming after them, and they're still punching them in the face.
They rank 7th in total yards allowed. They rank 4th in rushing yards allowed and 5th in points allowed.
5th in points allowed, yeah.
So, I mean,
7th in total yards allowed with this bottom 10 statistical offense is very impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's really, really impressive. You're right, because they're not getting the benefit of the offense going out there and putting 30 up on everybody right
now.
And
the offense turns it over at least once a game. The defense is having to at least have one drive where they're chopping the offense on a short field. Like, impressive stuff.
I mean, the turnovers that they pulled out of their ass yesterday. I mean, that CRW turnover on the far side, I guess it was the near sideline, getting both of those feet down like he did and dancing along the sidelines. You're like, who is this gentleman? I've never heard of him before. But hell, what an interception. Looked like a veteran out there. And so, yeah, I mean, you can make the case, I would say, at the end of the year, if this continues the way it is, yeah, probably the best defense in Chiefs history. It's just harder to win now in the NFL than ever before.
No doubt. No doubt. And when we look at their offense and everyone says, oh, it's been a terrible offensive year, how about this? 11th in total yards in the league, 12th in passing yards, 10th in rushing yards, 13th in points, and 4th in third down efficiency. It's wild, man. Just like,
I mean, that's wild. You go through those again?
Okay, they're 11th in total yards.
Yeah.
They average 360 yards of offense. They're 12th in passing yards, 221.5 a game. They're 10th in rushing yards, 128.8 a game. They're 13th in points with 24.3, and they're 4th in third down percentage at 45.3%. I mean, it's just...
Clean up those turnovers.
Yeah.
You could be top 10 in major categories and top 5 in major categories on defense. Take that for your DVOA stats there.
I mean, my
it's your
God.
Talent.
My God. Unbelievable.
There was an interesting moment yesterday in football, which was circled around an injury. The text line has talked about it. Bob and I and Mac were all talking about it yesterday. We give our reaction to what happened in that Cleveland game yesterday here on 96.5 The Fan, which is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
First and 10 at the Niner 18-yard line. Here comes the end around on a jet sweep. It goes to Hardman, cuts it back, and goes into the end zone. Right to left on the jet sweep, Mecole Hardman. In 22, he had 3 touchdowns. And now, another touchdown here in 2024 on a right to left jet sweep.
I mean, if I'm a Niners fan, my most hated Chief of all time is Mecole Hardman.
Has to be, right?
3 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns in a game against him. Walk-off touchdown in the Super Bowl. Call game yesterday.
I know. It's unbelievable how good he is against San Francisco. Speaking of good, Tate Nagy the other night. Did you see him, Matt Nagy's son, going to the University of Kansas? Blue Valley West with a big win, 35-34. Here's how it went down the other night at the game. Okay, they're down 6 and they're starting at their own 20-yard line. One timeout, 44 seconds left in the game. 45-yard completion. 18-yard completion, 16-yard completion, and then the game-winning touchdown pass was 7 seconds. I sent you guys the video of that touchdown pass. Corner route in the end zone? Like, you think Tate Nagy's channeling number 15? Did you see all the cats at the game, too? Everybody was out there supporting them. That's what this team has that others don't, man. Friday night, where are they all at? They're all at Matt Nagy's kids' game watching them play.
Man.
And, of course, Dave Merritt's son was on the other team, and so they were kind of battling back and forth, but that's a big-time win, 35-34, down 6, starting at your own 20 with 44 seconds left.
Amazing.
I mean, he wasn't watching Mitchell Trubisky play up in Chicago. He was watching Patrick Mahomes that whole time going on when he was up in Chicago. So 44 seconds left or 13 seconds left. You got Tate under center for Blue Valley West. You got Patrick under center for the Chiefs. Let's go, baby! So hell of a throw by Tate the other night to win that ball game for them. And what a crazy catch as well. So congratulations, Blue Valley West. Olathe East won by like a point, I think, as well. And did you get to any high school games over the weekend?
There was the Cat Clash in Blue Springs.
Oh, I like that.
So
right?
The Jags and Cats played, and Blue Springs lost.
Oh.
It is what it is.
Sorry. It sucks.
It's okay.
Yeah, if you got any high school shout-outs to give on the text line, throw them at us. We'll shout them out for you. Somebody had a good performance over the weekend. And, you know, you saw Ronnie Bell in the game for San Francisco the other day, right? Like, Ronnie Bell, Kansas City kid, sat in this studio right before the draft time. And so I saw him go in for a touchdown yesterday, obviously ruled and came back. But you got to root a little bit for Ronnie Bell yesterday in that game. So congratulations to him for getting some playing time in San Francisco yesterday, even though they had nobody else to go to. But he stayed. He got on the field and played and almost had a touchdown against the Chiefs. So shout out Ronnie Bell for a little nice game for him yesterday.
So yesterday, kind of not a polarizing moment in sports, but it was a moment in sports where I think everybody is 1,000% entitled to your own opinion. And what I mean by that is the Deshaun Watson injury, which we don't need to hear the button here. This doesn't call for it. But
audio of the cheers for Deshaun Watson, but obviously the whole crowd was happy when he was on the ground there. But that was the announcing the players. They announced Deshaun Watson. You hear all the boos. Right after that, they announced Nick Chubb. You hear the roarest cheers.
Right, absolutely. And it should be. Nick Chubb coming back from injury, scored a touchdown, feel-good story of the year in the NFL, right, for a lot of people. Good.
And
for
that kid for San Fran.
Yeah, how about that yesterday, too? Ricky Pearsall getting shot and coming back and playing yesterday. That's a hell of a story as
Pick him up on your fantasy roster, FYI. He's available on everything. Because he will start to be a target with those two guys out, Debo and Ayuk, but we'll see.
No doubt. But
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so Deshaun Watson gets booed to start the game. Then he goes down, blows his Achilles on a non-contact injury, and he got cheered. And it kind of reminded you and I think, both of the Matt Cassel situation, a number of years ago now in 2012, out at Arrowhead, where, Matt Cassel got injured and the Arrowhead crowd cheered, and it led to one of the great moments of all time.
We are athletes, okay? We are athletes. Oh, we're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Coliseum. People pay their money, hard-earned money, to come in here, and I believe they can boo, they can cheer, they can do whatever they want, because I believe that, hey, we're lucky to play this game, a game, to come in here, and people, it's hard economic times, and they still pay the money to do this, okay? But when somebody gets hurt, there are long-lasting ramifications to the game we play, All right. I've already kind of come to the understanding I probably won't live as long because I play this game. And that's okay. That's the choice I've made. That's a choice all of us has made. But when you cheer somebody getting knocked out, I don't care who it is, and it just so happened to be Matt Cassel, it's sickening. It's 100% sickening.
So that's Eric Winston talking about the Matt Cassel thing. 100% agree. Cheering for Matt Cassel was weak. Matt Cassel didn't do anything to anybody, right? He was and is a great human being. He just wasn't very good at playing quarterback that year for the Chiefs. And a lot of it was out of his control. Todd Haley and Charlie Weiss and the whole 9 yards. We don't need to go through that again, right? Sure. But people cheered for when Matt Cassel went down. So I don't blame Eric Winston for acting like that. Like, somebody goes down, you don't normally cheer for an injury.
Right.
However, I didn't necessarily mind it yesterday because Deshaun Watson has affected and injured and hurt and really done a number on, 22 different women or whatever over the course of his massages that he did that. So I can understand why people were cheering for Deshaun Watson yesterday. Not something I would normally do, but for Deshaun Watson, karma's a B, as they like to say, and it looks like now he may never play for the Cleveland Browns again, and I think they're probably very happy with that. They're probably going to try to get an injury settlement and move on from Deshaun Watson.
I'm a firm believer in your own person. You're your own individual. You can do whatever you feel like you want to do. We're all on the same page that I think Deshaun Watson is a garbage human being for what he has done. The memes were funny when it was like, this is what, people are going to see when they see Watson. And now, like, somebody who abused people that did things for their job now needs those people for his job.
That's exactly
right. It's insanely ironic. My take on this is I would not boo. I would not cheer. I would have zero reaction. I would sit there. I would not say, and I sent you this in a text. It's like, I wouldn't give him any emotion of me. That to me would have been one of those times where I'd have gone and grabbed a beer. I'd have went and got a dog or a pretzel with cheese or nachos. I would have just been like, you guys can boo and look that way and be that person. But my dad raised me right, I think. Mm-hmm. And two wrongs don't make a right.
But it makes you feel good.
I mean, you know, to me, the guy blew his Achilles and that's enough karma for me.
Fair enough. That's fair. Yep.
He's already on the verge of like being out of the NFL because his play is terrible. Mm-hmm. We all know what his past is. And, you know, I always say, do nice things for people. I sound hypocritical if I'm like, yeah, I'd have been up there cheering, because that's not a nice thing to do.
Right.
A nice thing to do is to just not give it any of your emotion. I don't like what he's done. My sister, who is also a massage therapist, I know that I've had conversations with her, how, you know, that could not only like makes Deshaun Watson an evil person, but like that could ruin those people's lives that had to go through that.
No
right?
question. Like, those people's like, how do you trust anybody ever again in those type of situations?
Yeah. And again, like I'm not saying that if you boo, it's wrong, or if you cheer, it's wrong. I'm just telling you what I would have done. What he did was disgusting. Who he is as a person is terrible for what he did. But like, I'm not going to give him my energy, if that makes sense.
Sure. And I don't know, you know, how I would have reacted. I don't know what I would have done, quite honestly. I think when you're in that moment, you react probably different. I probably would have seen him go down, and I like to say, F him, good. And I mean, that's kind of, I think, how I would have responded if I was in that crowd. But I don't know how I would have responded if I was in that crowd. Because sometimes you get that mob mentality. Everybody's cheering. You start to cheer. Everybody's booing. And, you know, you kind of start to boo. So for myself, I don't know how I would have reacted in that moment, quite honestly, but I know I felt good when I saw Deshaun Watson get hurt, because I do believe in karma. And when you're not a good person, good things shouldn't happen to you. And I don't believe Deshaun Watson is a good person. And so I've not been wishing for good things to happen to Deshaun Watson. I love the fact that he's gone out there and he's been terrible. And I'm not losing any sleep over the fact that he blew his Achilles out. And maybe that makes me a bad person, but I can't get past the damage that this gentleman caused to at least 22 other individuals by just being a creep.
And I think that's the injury that, and I mean, somebody, you know, look, somebody brings in, you know, the Lord above, like, hey, the Cleveland Browns wouldn't bench him. They gave him all that money. This is the Lord's way of saying, like, you're out. And that's the injury that that type of player, you know, missing so much time and that sort of injury. Now, obviously, Kirk Cousins is fine. He looks right. Like he's finally healed from it. But Rodgers has not recovered the right way from it.
Nope. Maybe because he tried to rush back and, you know, lick Toad.
You never know. And that's one of those situations where, you know, you are your own person. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. But, you know, that's the type of injury where, like, if you've ever thought about when you do something bad, when it comes to get you, that's one of those things. Like, that's an Achilles pop, non-contact. Nobody had to do anything. It just happened.
Right.
And it's like, sorry, Deshaun, but like, you kind of have to own this because of who you are and what you've done. And like the fact that like his process, he wasn't really apologetic. It was like, oh, I'm correct. Being, you know, this. Right. And it's like,
the
no,
whole
man.
Thing has been just miserably handled.
Right. No, like you're the Richard, right? Like you're that guy, like you own this and you have a catastrophic injury that could definitely end your career. And it's not our fault Cleveland decided to give him money. Like
right.
Cleveland as a franchise should be getting booed for this. Like mm-hmm. they're the ones that ruined it. They gave him $266 million guaranteed and now they can't get out of it. And now his leg is injured. Both people suffer and karma sucks, dude.
It does. And you know, I was kind of thinking about it yesterday from a tinfoil hat because over the weekend, while nobody was paying attention on Friday and Saturday, they demoted Jameis Winston to the third string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and inserted, who was it that played, Soleil Moon Frye or something, was playing quarterback for them yesterday.
He's got like a three name.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
That's it, yeah.
DTR.
So that guy was that guy all of a sudden is playing quarterback yesterday.
Because Winston wasn't active.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He was demoted again like Friday or Saturday.
He will be starting Sunday.
You would hope he would
Which
be,
I'm happy because we finally get our wish.
We do, but it's weird that he was demoted, that all of a sudden Deshaun Watson had this injury. I live in a world where that guy that runs the Cleveland Browns, man, go do your research on him. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking this was was this a dive by Deshaun Watson so they could get an injury settlement and move on and not have to play Jameis Winston, you know, and everybody goes, see,
go rupture your Achilles and let me know if you're willing to do that.
Did he really
rupture? Did you see the slow motion?
I did not know.
You want to see it during the break?
No, it pops
and his calf jiggles.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, because immediately I thought this is a
he plants and then you see the like ripple effect.
Okay. Stop.
No.
So I originally was like, okay, is this one of those?
No, dude.
You're gonna go out here and you're gonna fake an injury, we're gonna get an injury settlement, and we're all gonna move on with our lives. You don't wanna be here, I don't want you here. Okay, so he really did blow it.
No, it popped.
It did, okay. It really did pop because I could definitely see them saying, you go fake an injury, my friend. We're going to give you the injury settlement. No harm, no foul. We'll all be about our day.
Yeah, the two slow motion videos I watched the most yesterday was that, for some reason, just to like see like if it really was that. So I probably watched it three times. And then the Mahomes truck stick. I watched that in slow motion. I was like, dear.
You didn't watch the Ayuk injury?
No, because I knew what that was. That was he pointed to it. He's it's over.
He grabbed his knee and he was done.
Then you played Eric Winston's.
Yeah.
And then this is another Winston, Jameis Winston, after the game. And this was his explanation on Deshaun Watson. You're
right. The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun.
Serve.
But I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. And I know I come from the deep south, Birmingham, Alabama, Bessemer, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down.
I got to ask a real question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jameis Winston know what Deshaun Watson did?
Yeah.
Are we sure? Because a lot of these guys don't pay attention to what goes on off the field. And they're their teammates. They're their teammates. They're my guys. When guys go in that locker room, they don't think about the things we think they think about. They don't care about political affiliation, religious affiliation, race, creed, color, none of that. They're all just in a locker room together for one common goal, and that's to win football games or baseball games or basketball games, right?
Yeah.
So I've been in a lot of locker rooms, my man. I'm telling you, they don't care about this
stuff.
Even with stuff like this,
you're harming women.
Did you not hear that guy?
I think he sounds like an idiot.
Right. That's why I'm wondering. Does he know?
No, I think he's just being an idiot.
Does he know what Deshaun Watson did? Because if you know what Deshaun Watson did, you don't get up there and say stuff like he said there where I've served him and he's done nothing but give his all. No, this guy's got a rap sheet that's as long as the day is and was a creep, a horrible human person that ruined the lives of other human beings and women because he is a creep scumbag. And to hear Jameis Winston say that, I wonder, does Jameis Winston know what this guy did off the field? You can't sit there and say you're serving this guy and he's such a great guy and he's given his all. Man, his reputation precedes him in this.
It was not the best interview. You have to know what you're going to get with Jameis Winston, which is you never know what you're going to get with Jameis Winston. And I think that he's trying to hard at that moment to be a good teammate and a good person. Poor choice of words, obviously, but to say that he doesn't know. Yeah. I mean, in the audio, like he's, you know, got the world against him. Like he knows what he's done.
Yeah,
like
all that. So
and he knows what he's done, but it's just, that's one of those situations. And you know, it's look, man, I look at, you know, what you're supposed to do in that situation. And I don't know, like you said, you've been in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms. Max's been in locker rooms. Like, it's a different time when all those cameras and microphones come in and just go, all right, what'd you think about the situation? The fans booing the athlete. Teammate kicks in, and then afterwards, you go back and watch. But again, like,
I don't think they were booing because he got hurt. I think they were booing because he's a horse's ass creeper combined with not a very good player.
Well, it's more so cheering is what they were.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Cheering or whatever.
Like, which means they were cheering because he was hurt because he is the person that you described.
Correct. Yeah. His rep. Like, if that's, you know, again, Matt Cassel, I still, you know, why we cheered, I don't know. He's a good human being. Deshaun Watson, I think a lot of those cheers were, A, he's a horrible person, and B, he wasn't playing very good. But if he'd just been a bad player, I don't think you would have gotten the cheers like you did for Deshaun. Maybe I'm wrong on that one, but that's kind of the way that I look at it. I think a lot of it was cheers because of him being just a scumbag, plus not playing good.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, like I said, I would give zero reaction. I would have nothing to really show. I don't think that he deserves, like, again, also, like, if I was a Browns fan, I probably would have disowned my fandom. I'm dead serious. Yeah, like, if you give that kind of guy money, I'd have been like, dude, as long as this guy's on the roster, I will not root for this team. And that's, you know, you like, as if we're going to call the pot, if the kettle's going to call the pot black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fans are going to boo Deshaun Watson and cheer him when he's hurt. But yeah, they're going to back the franchise that paid that creep to play quarterback.
Right.
So
yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's
right?
Almost talking out of both sides of your mouth. It is. You know, you're still giving a franchise money that gave a guy money that you're cheering who's hurt because he screwed up so many women's lives because he's a POS.
Right.
So it's like, where do you draw the line?
I don't know. What right? would you do? Like, honestly,
I would not root for that. Like,
what if the Chiefs signed him? Like, what if we were in a different situation and Patrick Mahomes didn't exist and they signed or made that trade for Deshaun Watson? Are you not a Chiefs fan anymore?
Not if he's on the active roster.
Okay. That's fair.
I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night knowing that I'm cheering for that guy who sexually molested women in that field that my actual sister does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I know my sister wouldn't. I know my dad wouldn't support him. And maybe I'm, you know, okay, Dusty, you're a snowflake. Fine. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't support rapists.
Yeah, I don't either. No, I'm with you. I think it's an easy question to have when it's not your team. And then it becomes your team. And then you're like, what do I do? What do I do with this team that I've rooted for my whole life, but they sign this guy who's the biggest piece of garbage that this league has ever seen, right? And brought him in here. And now I'm supposed to cheer this guy who was you know, ruining the lives of 20-plus women who were...
And his story is different because he wasn't apologetic. He was like, I'm innocent. He was like, I'm... No, there's 20-plus cases saying you're not.
Exactly.
Right, because people will say, oh, well, you guys gave Kareem Hunt another chance. Kareem Hunt found out what he was, and he went through a bunch of stuff, and it was one situation, right, that we know of.
And nobody's absolving Kareem Hunt, but the way that he handled the aftermath of this and the way he went about his apology tour, if you will, was a lot different than Deshaun Watson, who acted like he did nothing wrong when he did a lot wrong.
Right. And people bring up Tyreek Hill's name. How much did you cheer for him? I don't get goofy at that. I get goofy in the moment of the game, but I was never one of those guys in the crowd that was chanting Tyreek.
No, God, no.
I was never that guy.
No. I had a hard time clapping when he scored touchdowns. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it was nice. I'm not booing a guy when he's injured. And, you know, I'm just saying, like, the guy was forceful towards women, so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just an interesting study of human behavior, because I don't think you can answer the question until you're in that situation, whether you root for your team anymore or how you reacted when Deshaun Watson went down. And if you were at Arrowhead that day, what did you do? I was at Arrowhead that day. I was in the press box working and whatnot, so there was no emotion being shown up there. But if you were in the crowd that day and cheered Matt Cassel, why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I understand that Deshaun, I do, because the guy's a POS. Matt Cassel's a great human being.
Yeah, somebody said they met him at a celebrity golf tournament. He was awesome.
Who's that, Cassel?
Yeah.
Fantastic guy.
At least that's
love him. Yeah.
That was like a text last week or something like that, or maybe it was today. I don't remember. But either way, Josh Briscoe coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, coming up on the other side. Still got a lot to get to. Local schools played this weekend. KU finally got a win.
They did?
I believe so. Beat Houston. And Brady Cook. He kind of played a little bit of getting himself out of the doghouse. I'll explain on the other side. Here on Fesco and Dusty, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it, you said earlier, man, it's only 7 o'clock. Well, it's already almost 9 o'clock. So once the sun comes up, Bob.
Once the sun comes up, man.
Bob's up.
Different mood.
That's right. I go to Legacy today and get a jog in. It's a long weekend.
A yog? I didn't yog this weekend. I haven't yogged since Wednesday.
Yeah, we got after it at a Halloween party on Saturday. Sunday, dad's birthday, car battery died. I'm glad it happened on Sunday morning and not at 4 o'clock this morning.
Oh, God, yeah.
It looked like the car was going to die in Mizzou. Brady Cook went to the hospital during the game for an MRI, returned to Faurot Field, and won it for the Tigers versus Auburn.
How about that?
Quote, I've only got 2.5 games left at Faurot Field. I'm not missing this one in the hospital.
That's right.
Goes down, in the first drive? And here comes Auburn in Mizzou. And Missouri ends up winning the game against Auburn, and now they get to go to Tuscaloosa this weekend and play Alabama.
Alabama licking their wounds down there about now, right? Yeah,
they are licking over those balls, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Woo. But we were watching the game the other night. My daughter comes out, right? She's eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, you're watching Tennessee, Alabama. I said, yeah. She goes, did they do the entrance yet for Tennessee? And then start singing Rocky Top.
What?
There you go. Yeah.
Let's go. I love it.
She's a Mac fan.
That's the TikTok generation, right? Like,
yeah.
And she didn't care about the game. Like, didn't really care about that. Did they do the intro? I'm like, it's halftime. they must have done it before. And she was showing me the intro and all that kind of stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, really cool.
That is cool.
You know, that's how you get the kiddos involved on the TikToks and whatnot. But hey, man, give the kid credit for coming back from the hospital and finding a way to win a game against an Auburn team that you never should have been in a ball game with, right?
No doubt. And obviously, they play in Alabama this weekend. Big game for the Missouri Tigers.
No doubt, Eric.
Going on the road, trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. I mean, I don't know what I don't know. Two losses, you think they'd still get? Probably not.
I don't know. What
there's
do you think of college
sure.
football this year? I think there's plenty of teams available. Like, if you start looking at who are the 12 best teams in college football, you start with my Ohio State Buckeyes, and then it's everybody else. No, you've got Ohio State, Oregon, probably in there.
Mm.
You probably have Georgia,
yep.
Texas. Well, here's my take to Texas and Oklahoma fans over the weekend. The SEC ain't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
The SEC ain't for everybody. Texas, Oklahoma. How's that tasting right about now? People with the memes over the weekend of Texas and Oklahoma calling the Big 12 offices.
Did you see that kid with a gigantic head?
Quinn Ewers?
No, it was like a fan in the crowd for Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Fluff hairstyle.
Oh, you got to show it to me.
I will. Right. I mean, this guy.
It looks like he's wearing a Guardian cap.
Really?
Yeah.
So who's coming out of the Big 12 in this college football playoff
Colorado.
Right now?
Hey, he's mad that we're laughing.
Who's 5-2?
hey, there's
5-2. Like in a 12-team playoff, maybe. But like, maybe. Who's coming out of the Big 12 right now?
Yeah, K-State,
BYU,
Iowa State.
I mean, I don't know. You know,
BYU had a heroic win on Friday night.
Yeah. Iowa State had a heroic win against a no-one team.
Iowa
this
State
weekend.
Is still a pretty good team as well. They got a good quarterback, Rocco Beck. That's Anthony Beck's kid, former Chief.
Dude, get a look
tight
at this
end.
Guy's bucket.
Yeah, you see in this hair?
Dude, that's real. That's a real photo.
Yeah, maybe you can show the camera too. If they
want. That totally looks like a kid whose dad made a lot of money working in Austin that sent his kid to UT. That kid is wearing salmon slacks with no socks and loafers
this
with pennies in them,
here.
Right?
Yeah. That's is that on the camera again?
That's good, man. Okay. We had soccer on Saturday.
That guy owns
night,
a blow dryer.
Yeah, I missed that. So I missed most of that game. He definitely does. Yeah.
That's fine.
But honestly, who's making this college football playoff right now? Who do you have on that list? Is Notre Dame on that list
right now? They're 12, they're 6-1. I think they're probably
they're probably on that list. So Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
They play Navy this week, a good Navy team.
Look,
this week
Navy and Army are really good this year. Both of them are
and
really good, and they'll play both of them. You've got Texas probably on that list. Georgia's on that list. I'm sure Tennessee. Alabama will pick it and complain that they're not in and whatnot, and they'll find a way in. Miami, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Miami for sure.
Miami. So I think it's wide open. So a two-loss team, like if you're a two-loss team in the SEC, to get back to where Dusty was going with this, if you lose two games and you're, what, 11-2 or whatever it is, how do you not get in if you're playing in the SEC?
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's going to be tough. There's going to be some that miss. Like Ole Miss has two losses, and they're 17th in the country. They're going to have to fight back.
They're going to have to fight back. Yeah.
To win out and still maybe not have a shot.
Colorado plays Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State.
That's a hell of a run right there. If Colorado can run the table, you're talking about them in the playoff, though. You really are.
I mean, they got two tests right out of the chute. I mean, Cincinnati's 5-2. That's at Colorado, so that's a 9:15 game on Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
Right?
9:15 our time or their time?
No, our time. Okay. Like 8:15, I think. They're 7:15 mountain time. Texas Tech the following week at Texas Tech. Home against Utah. At Arrowhead versus Kansas on November 23rd. And then they finish the season home against Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State has fallen off big time. Yep. They've had a really bad year. Ever since he started doing his coach's show at the Senior Citizens Home, that program has fallen off.
Colorado was also 2.5-point underdogs at Arizona, won 34-7, gave up a touchdown early on in the game, never let him score again. 34-7.
Wow.
Hey, Don.
I get it. It's just K-State's 6-1. They're out of the playoffs right now, too. K-State's better than Colorado from a standings perspective. I'll add.
Somebody says, can you guys give a quick college football playoffs for dummies expansion? No, there's 12 teams.
There's 12 teams. That's about it. Yeah.
And where you thought it would get easier to make it, it actually makes it harder. It
makes it harder.
I don't know if that makes sense.
But I don't know that we're going to be talking about the 13th and 14th team being left out right now. Like, I'm having a tough time filling 12 teams right now, right? Where you, like, if you can, you know, struggle, you get the first six, you're like, all right, who else should potentially be in? I don't think we're going to be complaining that 13 and 14 get left out like we do in the NCAA tournament with 69 and 70, you know, being left out and everybody wants to complain. You weren't going to win anyway. Move on with your lives. I don't think 13 and 14 is going to be a big argument here if somebody does get left out of this playoff.
From the 479, Dustin Wells, Austin's brother today. What's up with the face piece? I was Doug from Liberty Mutual,
right.
And the girl I went to this party with, she was Flo. So that's why there's this caterpillar.
Did we hear that, or did you come to that conclusion yourself on the text? Because we've been calling him Austin Wells' brother all morning long, and if you came to that conclusion by yourself, I love you for it.
Mm-hmm. Take the day off.
Yep.
Because he does. He looks like Austin Wells, which is good.
Not mad about it. He used to look like Jonah Hill. Not a good look for me. tonight's guest on your Manning cast, for those of you that want to watch, which I think this is like the kind of night where it merits it. Like,
probably so. Right? Yeah, two games.
Bill Belichick, obviously. Joe Flacco, Ed Reed, and Scott Hansen.
Oh, nice.
Whoa. Yeah, so kind of a loaded slate with a double barrel action tonight.
I believe.
What is it? It's Chargers and Arizona.
Is that first?
That's the late game,
That's
right?
The late game. And then Baltimore and
Tampa.
Tampa. That game's good. I'm excited for that.
That game's the early game.
Yeah,
I'm doing the normal time game.
Getting the Blackstone out tonight.
Oh, I did that yesterday.
Chicken fried rice tonight.
Is that what you did?
Okay. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but the battery died, so we had to call an audible and order pizza.
That's all right.
Which is never a bad audible.
I did steak and scallops and chicken. Yeah, all of it on the Blackstone. Have you done scallops on the Blackstone yet?
Oh, I don't make that kind of money.
Scallops?
Yeah.
Go buy yourself a big bag of them, frozen. Don't buy the fresh ones. It's cheaper when you buy them frozen.
I thought they were really, yeah.
Throw them on there for like 3 minutes. You're good to go.
I love scallops.
Yeah, and today you're going to save money at Hy-Vee on your gas points. 28 points for the Chiefs yesterday. Spend $28, get 28 cents off per gallon. Boom,
nice.
Done.
Yeah. No.
Scallop it up.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, did Flo and Doug file a claim together? Wink, wink. Come on now.
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
That's good.
Come on now. Golly. Coming up on the other side, let's get serious. Our guy, Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, will join us here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.